to turn your sword open now to Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1. Rahab, can you come up here, please? Young at heart, anybody else? There's some good stuff in there. All right. All right, guys, this morning I want to remind you that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. That is 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. Also, why are we doing this morning? Because on this weekend, in liberal churches and in other places of faith all across the whole nation, this is what is being called Evolution Weekend. There is a letter that's going around that has been signed by members of liberal clergymen and liberal churches that they're saying that they believe that evolution and the Bible are compatible, that it goes hand in hand. This morning, it is my objective to show you the next one there. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. That's 1 Peter 3:15. Remember, one of the reasons we're doing this is because so you will be ready to be able to give an answer to those that ask of you, why do you believe what you believe? Because this is going to be attacked. There's a Russian atheist astronomer. He said, either there is a God or there isn't. And when you stop and think about that, both possibilities are indeed frightening. There either is a God or there isn't. All right, so there's four great questions in life that people want to learn answers from. They want to learn answers about. Psychology, physicists, cosmologists, any type of psychology, or any of the other ologies, usually, are usually going to try to focus on four great questions in life. And this is normally where a lot of times inside of the teenage years, going up into the early formative days of someone's life in early adulthood, they're usually going to begin to ask themselves these questions. For example, who am I? And consequently connected to that is, what am I worth? What is the value of my life? That's an important question. Who are you? You know, there's a common skit or something out there where people will say, well, who are you? Well, I'm Craig Lovelace. And the response is, well, I didn't ask you what your name was. Who are you? Well, I'm Pastor Daniel Time Baptist Church. I didn't ask you what you're doing for a living or what your job is or what your occupation is. I asked you, who are you? Well, I'm the son of Tommy and Susan. I didn't ask you who your parents were. Who are you? You know, so all these things that we gain an identity by aren't really what we're about. So the correct answer is what Daddy said in his, Sunshine Country Bumpkin way, but it's the actual accurate answer. Who are you? I'm me. That's who I am, you know. So then number two is, where did I come from? This is the whole objective about Creation Sunday, our origin. Where do we come from? That's what we're going to be looking at as well, and the answer to these questions. Number three, why am I here? And then number four, where am I going when I die? You know, where did we come from? It's Genesis chapter 1. Look in your Bible there. Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1. Forget the liberal man up there. But in Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, look what it says. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Cosmologists want to understand, where did everything come from? The beginning of time, space, and matter. Well, there it is right there. In the beginning, time, God created the heaven. That's space and matter. I mean, the heaven and the earth, that's matter. There you go. So, let's go to the Lord in prayer, and let's ask God to be in our midst this morning. Again, this is a little bit of a different service, but I hope that you're going to get something out of this that will rock and change and challenge your world. Let's pray. Father, we thank you this morning for these that have assembled themselves in your house to hear your precious and holy word. Father, we thank you for those as well that are watching via the live feed. And Lord, for those of our church family normally able to be with us, Father, for whatever reason they may be out, Lord, we pray that you'll meet with them and as only you can. If they're playing hooky, Father, and it's just too wet to get out, Father, we pray that you'll just convict their soul, Lord, that they'll get back inside of your house where it matters, Lord, that they'll be here with your people and especially with you. And so, Father, I pray, Lord, today that you'll hide me behind the cross and put your words in my mouth and you'd have me to speak. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, I've got a ton of Bible verses coming up here, and so I've got my notes right here. So where do we come from? Well, one of the ways that you look at this, and this is what we call a worldview, and primarily, God, this is what a lot of times we're actually dealing with. More than anything in the world, we're actually dealing with a war, not a war of the world, like Martians coming down, like we saw back in the 50s in that movie, or back even earlier beyond that. But really what we're looking at, guys, is today we're looking at the battle of the world views. And so the liberal guy, he says, amazing, a big bang made this world from nothing. The humanist worldview is based on evolution. Man is God, and he answers to no one. Then you and I should look at this, or thinking people should look at the world, and we should say, incredible. It is an incredible design. There must be a smart designer. That is the intelligent design theory, or the ID theory. That is the creationist worldview, that God is God, and he judges all men. So our key starting verse here was, of course, Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Notice, it's not heavens, it's heaven. And notice also that the earth was already here. Not already here, that God made it, and it was here. Not on day four. Day four is when he made the star, when he made the planets. So that being said, the earth is not technically, biblically, a planet. Evolutionist Sir Arthur Keith said, the law of Christ is incompatible with the law of evolution. Nay, the two laws are at war with each other. So you cannot have evolution and creation. You have either creation or evolution. You cannot have both. According to the Bible in 1 Corinthians 15:38 and 39, listen to what it says. But God giveth it a body as it hath pleased him, and to every seed his own body. All flesh is not the same flesh. But there is one kind of flesh of men, another flesh of beasts, another of fishes, and another of birds. That being said, we did not come from the flesh of beasts. We did not come from the flesh of birds. We did not come from the flesh of fishes. We came from the flesh of men, that God made them. Amen. All right? Now, how do we get inside this mess to begin with? How did we arrive at this place where now you have clergy, you have preachers, you have churches, you have denominations that are believing in evolution versus what the Bible actually says? Well, we get here because of Satan's strategy. In Genesis chapter 3, verse 1, it says, now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. Now think about this. That is doubting God's word. God told Adam in the garden, in the previous chapter, in chapter 2, you can eat of all the trees of the garden, but of this tree in the midst of the garden, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you shall not eat of it, because in the day that ye eat thereof, you shall surely die. And you know what? Confusion over the Bible versions helps further that doubt. Well, then the next step, if you can begin to doubt God's word, then you can logically go to the next step. And that is to merely deny the word of God. Genesis 3, 4. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. That is there plainly denying God's word. Now then, the next step is the logical progression from that. So if you have doubted God's word, and now you deny God's word, then where is your standard? Where is your rationale of what is right and what is wrong? Genesis 3, 5, the devil said, for God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be open, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. So the next step is, the third step, is to deify man. To deify man means to make man God. Now, there's already faiths out there that do this. Mormons, like Mitt Romney, who some of us probably voted for in an election a few years back. I held my nose when I did that because I know what Mormons believe. Mormons teach this. Exaltation is eternal life, the kind of life that God lives. He is a creator. They say we can become God like our Heavenly Father. This is exaltation. They're not alone. The Catholics do the same thing. He says in the official Catholic doctrine from the Catechism of the Catholic Church, from Ignatius Press, page 116, "For the Son of God became man so that we might become God." This is all what the devil said. And it is found in the Roman Catholic Church, and it is found in the Mormon Church. And guess what else? It's found in the Word of Faith. It's found inside of the holiness ideas out there. Listen, this is Kenneth Copeland. "God's reason for creating Adam was his desire to reproduce himself. I mean a reproduction of himself, and in the Garden of Eden he did just that. He was not a little like God. He was not almost like God. He was not subordinate to God even." Where does he get this crap? Adam was as much like God as you can get, just the same as Jesus. Adam in the Garden of Eden was God manifest in the flesh. That is not Bible doctrine. That is what Kenneth Copeland believed. And it's also the same brand of ideology that the people at the Word of Faith Fellowship in Spindale believe. That Sam and Jane Whaley believe. That Kenneth Copeland, Channel 16 down in Greenville, that's what they are, guys. I don't care if your grandma sits there and watches that till her brain rots out of her ear. That is not Bible teaching and it's not Bible preaching. John Hagee and all the other stuff, guys, on that TV, on that channel, it's all connected somewhere, somehow, to the Word of Faith. And that's what they believe. He also said in The Force of Love from 1987... "You don't have a God in you. You are one." Well, the founder of the Word of Faith movement, Kenneth Hagin, they call him Dad Hagin out in Tulsa, Oklahoma. He said, "The believer is as much an incarnation as was Jesus of Nazareth." Now, where did all this come from? It come from Satan, as he told Adam and the woman in the garden, "Ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil." That's what he wanted in the five wheels of Lucifer or Satan. Isaiah 14:13, "For thou, Lucifer, hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north." And then in verse 14 he says, "I will ascend above the heights of the cloud. I will be like the Most High." Satan wanted to be, Lucifer wanted to be God, wanted to be like God, but the job wasn't open. The position wasn't available, but he still wanted to do that. And guess what? Every time you and I take the authority in our hand to define what is right and what is wrong, what is good and what is bad, apart from the authority of the Word of God, we have become a little God ourselves. Now notice what God did. He made man in his image, not as a little God. He says that in Genesis 1, 26 and 27. "Let us make man in our image after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over the cattle and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. Now Adolf Hitler said, "If you tell a lie long enough, loud enough and often enough, the people will believe it." There are lies being told to us today. Hitler also said people are more likely to believe a big lie than a small one. I don't care if you tell a little white lie, it's still a lie. A lie is a lie is a lie. Now how many of you here have older siblings? All right. Did you ever have any breakfast wars? Maybe you got to the table and maybe there was maybe an apple or a banana or an orange or something, and it was the last one. And you, as the younger sibling, were there first, and you got it. And then your older siblings came in and said, "That ain't going to work. We're the older ones here." Well, let's take a look. That's the case that happened to Dr. Hovind, Brother Kent Hovind, whenever he was a child. His brothers saw one morning that they came to the breakfast table, and he got the banana. Is it working? No, we need to go to Nick. No, forward. To the picture, to this, keep on. Yeah, keep, yep. Okay, there we go. It would so much be easier if I had a clicker, but anyway. All right, so there he is, Kent and his brothers. Kent got the banana, and his brothers wanted that banana. So they're going to come up with this spooky tale to try to tell him that that's not a banana. They told him, and said, Kent, don't you know what bananas really are? And he said, no, what? He said, they're dead spiders. He said, no, you're lying to me. You just want this banana. And he says, oh, yes, it's true. Cut the banana open. And right there, you can still see the legs where they were, the moldy spider legs around that banana. You see, they put a what looked like a little truth, it looked like, and he's Dr. Hovind said he didn't eat bananas for 5 or 6 years after that. He wouldn't touch the thing. You see, that's how it works, guys. You take a little something bad and you put a lot of good around it. Think about decon. That box is not full of poison. If you read the amount that's on there, it's a little bitty poison and a lot of good, yummy food. So you try to attract the mouse with the yummy food, and when he eats it, he's actually eating something that he shouldn't be eating. You see, it's like that. Marlboro. What in the world does being a cowboy have to do with smoking Marlboro? I mean, think about it. Next one. Next slide. See? It's always about that. I mean, I think they put on their warning labels, can cause lung cancer. How about let's get the real truth about smoking, shall we? I mean, think about it. Cancerettes, breath rotters, bypass, malignant, money suckers, and phlegm balls. And maybe that's what we need to really have truth in advertising, perhaps. Maybe. All right, it got quiet out there. How about beer company? Beer company do the same thing. They try to associate beer with sport. I remember when I took Greg down there to the Atlanta Braves, there was a guy hawking, big old tall things of beer. I mean, they call it Budweiser, but really, Budweiser, it doesn't make them any wiser. Maybe we need to change it to something more accurate, shall we? But stupid, perhaps. But see, they don't really want you to know that. They want you to think that Bud Dumber and Miller Lowlife or Dead Dog mixed with sport in some way. They don't. I mean, the Bible is true about this. God's over in Proverbs 23, verse 29 and 30. Who hath woe? Who hath sorrow? Who hath contention? Who hath babbling? Who hath wounds without call? Who hath redness of eyes? They that tarry long at the wine. They that go to seek mixed wine. How about Proverbs 23, 31 and 32? Look not thou upon the wine when it is red, when it giveth his color in the cup, when it moveth itself aright, that is, it is fermented. At the last it biteth like a serpent and stingeth like an adder. Also in Habakkuk it says, woe unto him that giveth his neighbor drink. Also you can look at other verses of Proverbs 20 verse 1, Isaiah 28:7, Luke 1:15. Now I have had alcohol. I've had that before, 10%. But people look at me and they say, have you ever tried this? I said, no, I've never drank a beer in my life. I've never had a bottle of wine, not the first one. I've never had cigarettes or anything of that. And they'll say, well, how do you know that you won't like these things? I mean, consider, what a smart way to live your life. Have you ever laid your head under a semi-truck? No. Well, how do you know if you won't like it if you don't try it? I mean, come on, really? No. There's some things out there, guys, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure out that this is not good for you. Now listen, guys, we're not here as Christians against science. Science textbooks are all out there. I remember the whale right there, Biology, The Dynamics of Life. In Chase High School, that's the book I use. So we're not against science. We're against the little bit of poison that's being mixed in with our science book. I mean, think about this right there. Millions of years ago, they talk about the Mesozoic era. God, that is the first grade. Even before the first grade, they're targeting our students. I can read about fossils. Then they talk about right there, how do you measure time? One way is by measuring amount of carbon found in fossils, by studying layers of rock where fossils are found. It's crazy. All right, look at this. Since this formation, 4.5 billion years ago, life on Earth has adapted to these changes. Again, millions of years ago, change continually. Life, too, has evolved on Earth. Really? Well, how do we define this word evolution? You've got to look at the evolution. How about cosmic evolution? That's the origin of time, space, and matter. Well, that's easy. You go to the Bible, you learn it right there. They don't believe the Bible, they say. Well, there's your problem. How about chemical evolution? We see the origin of higher elements from hydrogen. Now, whoa, wait a minute. If the Big Bang produced hydrogen and some helium, how in the world did the other 105 elements evolve? I mean, how do you get iron from hydrogen? The scientists go, well, don't you know anything? It's from fusion. Oh, wait a minute. You can't fuse cast iron. You can't fuse iron like that. So how did it work? How do you get that? How about stellar and planetary evolution? That is the origin of stars and planets. You know, no one has ever seen a star ever form. How about Martin Harwit? He said back in 1986, the silent embarrassment of modern astrophysics is that we do not know how even a single one of these stars managed to form. Yet they show you pictures like Eta Carinae. Whoops, let's move on. Yeah, there we go. That one right there. And they say that is a star exploding, but yet they're going to say that out of that is going to come the formation of a star. But you know what, guys? About every 30 years or so, a star is observed exploding. They said, well, you can take about 30 of these exploding stars and get a new one. Oh, that's smart. That's wonderful. You take 30 to get rid of them to get one. How stupid is that? It's been estimated, guys, that there are enough stars for every person on Earth to own, personally, 11 trillion stars. That's a lot of stars. And you know what? That's only the ones we know about. We don't know about the ones we don't know about. Now, they calculate that there are 70 sextillion stars. And that's 20 billion years. If we think about the rationale behind this, we should literally be seeing 6.5 million new stars forming every minute for 20 billion years to make what we can see. God, that would be, you could see stars popping up all over the morning, the daytime sky, and the night sky if this were the case, because for everybody to have 11 trillion stars, that's what we would have to see to make for the stars that we can actually observe. The big one that everybody likes to talk about as far as evolution goes is organic evolution. That's the evolution of life. You have to define what kind of evolution it is that you're talking about. How about what the poster boy, that's how he was once described, Paul Davies, he said, nobody knows how a mixture of lifeless chemicals spontaneously organized themselves into the first living cell. I mean, think about it, God. To define evolution by 1, 2, 3, and 4, all the way down to organic, this is something. It's never been seen. It's never been observed. What we have observed is macro. I'm sorry. What we have not observed also is macro evolution, changing from one kind into another. Think about the origin of dogs, coyotes, foxes. It can be relatively determined that all different kinds of dogs have come from the same ancestor. But it's still a dog. Let's think about this. Let's go to the next slide. Rahab, you see those pictures right there? Which one is not like the others? Which one's different? The banana. The banana is not like the others. So think about it. A child can tell you which one's not like the others. We have college professors that don't even understand that. So think about that. Notice what the Bible says. The fruit tree yielding fruit after his kind, after his kind. 10 times that is said in chapter 1 alone. But what happened is they did a switcheroo. Darwin said that kind referred to species. That's not species, it's different types. So you can have different species and the same kind, but you still have the same kind. So again, notice, all of those from number 1 to number 5 have never been observed. And science is supposed to be observable. The one we have seen is microevolution. That is variation within kind. That is the only one that has ever been observed by scientists. When Darwin went and saw the little finches, he saw some finches' beaks were bigger than the other one. And out of that, he suddenly came up with the notion that finches somehow came from a rock. No. That's not it either, Charlie. Now notice what this is. Now guys, this is a teacher's book. This is a teacher's handbook. Notice what it says. Stress that the earth is thought to be, not known as thought. I thought we're dealing with science, fact, evidence. They're telling this teacher to stress the thought that the earth is at least 4 billion years old. What is science? It is knowledge derived from observation or study. If that be the case, they talk about the Big Bang. We need to look at some of the laws that they teach us that are irrefutable, like the first law of thermodynamics that says matter or energy cannot be created or destroyed. If matter or energy cannot be created or destroyed, where did all this stuff come from? There's only two choices in the end. Either somebody made the world, or number two, the world made itself. They can't both be right. Now, of course, there's a lunatic fringe out there. They say, we're not really here at all. We just think we're here. Yeah, man. No, the Bible says that in the beginning, God created. The Bible never explains where God come from. The Bible merely says that God is here. He always has been here. He always will be here. And he created the heaven and the earth. Amen. The Humanist Manifesto from 1933. This isn't as recent as you thought it was. Humanists regard the universe as self-existing and not created. So they believe in what we call the Big Bang. Now think about what they're talking about. 18 to 20 billion years ago, all the matter in the universe was concentrated into one very dense, small, hot region that might have been smaller than the period on the end of this page. And then it was the Big Bang. All the stuff in the universe got together for the big squish. And the big squish, the little dots started rotating and going around and around and around. So, again, the humanists regard the universe as self-existing and not created. Do you realize what universe means? Uni is single, verse is spoken word or spoken sentence. Do you realize we live in a spoken sentence? In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. That'll preach right there. Want it, Brian? I tell you, if we preachers can't find a sermon out of that, we ain't got no preaching us at all. Think about what God said. God said, let there be light. Genesis 1:3. All right, so once again, they're telling us that everything inside the universe got together for the little squish and had the Big Bang. Let's go to the next one. Then it says, after billions of years, all the matter and energy will once again be packed into a small area. This area may be no larger than the period at the end of this sentence. Then another Big Bang will occur. Guys, we don't need to worry about global warming. We're all going to be squished to death. This is from science journals and books that your children, your grandkids are being taught in books like that. Annotated Teacher's Edition. Now, this is another one that... Now, guys, I want you to think about this. A tree was chopped down to teach this. Listen to what this said to the kid in 1989. Nothing really means nothing. From this state of nothingness, the universe began in a gigantic explosion about 16.5 billion years ago. And back up the truck. You say nothing exploded? They say it was a dot. All right, now think about this. The Big Bang Theory began with a Catholic priest, Georges Lemaître. According to Isaac Asimov, Lemaître conceived the mass to be no more than a few light years in diameter. He said, at the very least, that would be two light years, or about 12 trillion miles across. That's what the original theory was, that this thing that exploded was that big. That's huge, guys. But by 1965, the figure was reduced to be 275 million miles across. Then in 72, it was reduced down to 71 million miles. In 1974, it was shrunk down to 54,000 miles. In 1983, when I was 2 years old, it was shrunk down to a trillionth the diameter of a proton. And now scientists are saying it wasn't even that small. It was nothing. Discover Magazine. April 2002, right down there at the bottom. Let's look at the next one. Whoops, let's go back. The universe burst into something from absolutely nothing. Zero, nada. As it got bigger, it became filled with even more stuff that came from absolutely nowhere. How is that possible? Ask Alan Guth. I've really got to talk to this Alan Guth kind of guy. His theory of inflation explains everything. Really? Let's see what he said. The observable universe could have evolved. You see that? That's a possibility. That is not science. That is not fact. That is maybe. Observed from an infinitesimal region. Now, preacher, I don't talk in $10 words like that. You're going to have to define that for me. What does that mean? Infinitesimal region? It means a dot. Whoops, let's go back. It's then attempting to go on and further, one step further, and speculate that the entire universe evolved from literally nothing. So see, here's where the big squish gets interesting. According to the theory of the Big Bang, everything was squished down and it began. Now watch this, pay attention, wake up now. It began to spin faster and faster and faster and faster and faster. And then until what? A sun, our star, was born. So they believe in the Big Bang. All right, so my question to them is, where did all this stuff come from? You know what? If you get an honest one, Scott, they're going to tell you, I don't know. So all this stuff, dirt, dust particle, all this junk everywhere, everything. So in the beginning, they actually believe something else than we do. I believe in the beginning, God. Click. They believe in the beginning, dirt. I like what my Bible said. All right, now, I want you to watch this here, guys. The media tries to make this out to be a war between science and religion. It's not. Religion is not against science, and science, true science, is not against religion. It should be observable fact and evidence. So there it is. Where did the matter come from? Let's go on to the next one. Oh, yeah. By the way, to get this idea upon the people, watch that. Hopefully we're about right there, and hopefully Jesus is about to come back in about 5 minutes, hopefully so. But look down at the evolutionist timeline. That guy, remember, what they're teaching, evolution, the first five definitions, has never been observed, never been replicated inside of a laboratory, and that to believe that is faith. That is not science, it is a religion. And that religion is tax supported by your taxpayer dollar and mine. So where did the matter come from? I mean, there are laws that govern this universe. Where did the laws come from? Now think about these laws. You know, you got gravity, you got centripetal force, you got centrifugal force, you got inertia, you got Boyle's law, you got Ohm's law, and you got Cole's law. I love that on hot dogs. Mark, yum yum. Now think about this. If we had those laws, why aren't the laws still evolving? If they suddenly popped out of nowhere and evolved here, where'd they come from? And then where'd the energy, where'd the gas come from to run this machine anyway? One time there was a professor from Berkeley. Anybody here ever heard of Berkeley or Berserkly? I'm going to tell you right now, Berserkly is not a Bible college. The scientists, the professors out there believe in evolution. Now, Dr. Hovind was sitting on a plane one time, and he was talking to these people because he said everybody that sits next to him wants to talk about creation and evolution and dinosaurs for some reason. Just like everybody near me likes to talk about the Civil War, I reckon. But anyhow, he asked this professor, he said, hey, do y'all got a merry-go-round at Berserkly? At Berkeley? No, we don't have a merry-go-round. He said, man, if you did, you could learn some awesome science. So let's take a note about this. You know, anybody ever play on a merry-go-round when they were little? Oh, I did. I loved it. Puked almost every time. And see, that's what you do. You get third graders, and you put them on the merry-go-round, and you're going to enter phase one. You know, let's go ahead and get some high school football players, because, you know, they're big and burly. Anyway, you're going to tell them, say, all right, guys, let's take these little third graders, and let's spin them around. And so phase one, you get, let's go faster, faster. And now you're going to enter phase two. Because then they're going to start hanging on and kind of just kind of hanging on for dear life. Then let's get them up faster to phase number three. 60 miles an hour. Now they're going to be hanging on saying, stop, stop. But don't stop. Go faster. And phase four. Now they're at 100 miles an hour. Boy, you'd win every football game with them linebackers. Anyway, there's what happens. Suddenly, if they were to get up that fast, they would lose their grip and they would then begin to sling off. And if we could slow it down until they hit resistance. If we could slow the spinning children down, we would see that in action. The conservation of angular momentum. You say, what is that? Anybody here have a digital watch? If you do, you may not understand what clockwise is. So anyway, so if the merry-go-round was spinning clockwise, and something spins off of that, if it's going in a clockwise direction, if something launches off of that, it too is going to go in a clockwise manner. Why? Because it is conserving the energy off of that. Do you follow me? If it's spinning this way and something flies off of it, it's going to be spinning the same way. That's what we're seeing. That's the conservation of angular momentum. All right, let's move on. If this is the case, if everything got together for the big squish, and then you had a big bang, and it was spinning, and it exploded, what would that imply? You would have to see a principle of science, the conservation of angular momentum. If that is the case, every galaxy should be spinning in the same direction. Every planet should be spinning in the same direction. But guess, whoops, let's go back. But guess what you find? Not that far. You see Uranus, not that bottom down there. You see Uranus going backward, and you see Venus going backward. Why?
I don't know.
Well, how about this? Let's go to moon. Not that moon, the other moon. 8 out of the 91 moons around Saturn go backward. How about some more? Jupiter, Saturn, and Neptune have moon orbiting in both directions. The professor said, when Hovind asked him, he said, why is that? He said, I don't know. Think about this. 98% of the sun is hydrogen or helium. But less than 1% of Mercury, Venus, Earth, and Mars is hydrogen or helium. If they all came out of the same stuff, why is one 98% and the other one so less? Why are the 9 planets, yes, I said 9, why are the 9 planets so different from each other from the sun? If the planet came out of the same stuff that made up the sun, why is this? Why does some galaxy spin backward? Look at what CNN, you know, the Communist News Network. They said, goofy galaxy spins in wrong direction. Really? It has no intellect. It has no reason. Well, I don't want to spin counterclockwise. I think I'll go clockwise. Well, it didn't just randomly think about that. You know why it's going back? The professor asked Hovind, well, why do you think it is? He said, well, I'm so glad you asked me. Because God made it that way to make the Big Bang Theory look dumb, look stupid. Because in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Now, I'm going to tell you right now, I believe in the Big Bang, but not their Big Bang. Look at 2 Peter 3:10. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, the earth also, and the works that are therein shall be burned up. The word, the phrase, the great noise in the Greek is Big Bang. So, youngins, when you're in school and the teacher starts talking about the Big Bang, do you believe in the Big Bang? Yes, I do, teacher, and you better get saved because Jesus is coming back and bang, the Big Bang's going to happen and you're going to go to hell if you don't get born again. Now, you might get sent to the principal's office, but that's all right. Preach on! How about John 3:16? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Why would God send his son to die for a world that was created by a Big Bang and evolved by natural causes? Think about it. If the Big Bang theory were true, the matter would also be evenly distributed. Instead, it is lumpy. There are clusters of stars and there are big voids. Therefore, guys, the Big Bang is nothing but a big dud. Sir Fred Hoyle, astronomer, a cosmologist, and mathematician of Cambridge University, said in 1984, I have little hesitation in saying that a sickly pall now hangs over the Big Bang Theory. They are trying to figure out some other way to say we're all here, but they don't have a theory yet, and that's why the Big Bang Theory is still there. Think about the second law of thermodynamics. They're going to try to use this to explain the Big Bang. But see, it says that everything tends towards disorder. Think about it. Everything there, the Colosseum, go to the next one. It tends to disorder. See, there it is again, going down and down and down even more so. So, notice the Bible even says that in Hebrews 1:10 and 11. And thou, Lord, in the beginning hast laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the works of thy hand. They shall perish. But thou remainest, and they all shall wax old as doth a garment. That wasn't originally the way it was supposed to be done. That came about because of sin. Think about the law of thermodynamics, the second law of thermodynamics, says that everything tends to disorder. You go to sleep at night, your hair is fine. You wake up in the morning, you look like that. Everything tends to disorder, except for mine. I don't have to worry about mine. I mean, think about Sue. Here's Sue at 20. Here's Sue at 90. Here's Sue at 3,000. Total disorder. You and I are going to go through the second law of thermodynamics. How about this way? Another way of stating the second law is the universe is constantly getting more disorderly. He said, in fact, all we have to do is nothing, and everything deteriorates, collapses, breaks down, wears out all by itself, and that is what the second law of thermodynamics is all about. How about the next thing that we see is heat loss? Everything tends to disorder. You're losing heat. Consider our next thing. Humans probably evolved from bacteria that lived more than 4 billion years ago. Now think about this. Wait a minute. Everything tends toward disorder. Everything gets worse and worse. But yet, whoops, let's go back. But yet what they're saying is that everything got better and better. That from a single-celled amoeba, sprinkle in some time, and then you get a complex creature like man. See, scientists assume that by adding energy in an open system, it will overcome the second law of thermodynamics. That's how they're trying to explain why we're here. But let's think about this. Number one, the universe is a closed system. And then, number two, adding energy is destructive without a complex mechanism to harness the energy. I mean, consider what the Japs did back in 1941. The Japs added a lot of energy to Pearl Harbor on December 7, 1941, and it didn't organize a thing. We then merely returned the favor over in 1945, and we flattened two of their cities, and we added a lot of energy to Hiroshima and Nagasaki. No, just by adding energy doesn't mean it's going to get better and better. Think about the sun's energy. It will destroy your roof. It will eventually destroy your house. It will destroy the vinyl top on your car. It will even destroy your upholstery and your car's paint job. There's only one complex mechanism in the world that can utilize the sun's energy, and that is chlorophyll. So the evolution theory then directly violates the second law of thermodynamics, and it's completely wrong. Based on observable, practicable, and all of the things you can look at about science, it's not true at all. Now think about this. They talk about 3.4 billion years ago, the remains of the early ancestors of modern human being must have been a starfish, must have been a sea sponge. How about what we see over in Discover magazine in November of 2004? Was your ancestor a sea sponge? Let's look at our direct ancestor according to the evolutionists. There he is. Or maybe better yet, we see somebody else. Maybe SpongeBob was. Perhaps. How about general science? There's that teacher's annotated edition. There it is. Let's look and see. About 30 million years ago, larger primates, such as monkeys and apes, evolved. They're ancestral, both humans and modern apes. Translation is, anytime you find a long, long time ago, a fairy tale's coming up next. How about let's meet Grandpa then, shall we? There he is. My, what big eyes you have, Grandpa. Oh, the better to see you with, my boy. See, they said that we evolved. Both humans and modern apes evolved. Now, why inside of our school system do we find so many going ape nowadays? Well, she said, Barbara Reynolds did, because they are being taught evolution. Consider this. You are an animal and share a common heritage with earthworms. That is in a science book. We teach the students that they are animals. What effect does that have? Well, there you go. And number two. Now notice, Proverbs 8:36, but he that sinneth against me wrongeth his own soul. All that hate me love death. We are teaching our children in these science classes that there is no absolute. Now they can pop pills, they can drink, they can shoot drugs and all this. But you know what? The Bible says over 413 times, thus saith the Lord. If that ain't an absolute, tell me what is. I mean, Leviticus 19:28, you shall not make any cuttings in your flesh for the dead, nor print any marks upon you. I am the Lord. But yet people like that blame Donald Trump because they can't get hired. No, it's because you're rejecting God's authority. I mean, how many teachers blindly follow the textbook, never realizing they can teach creation if they wish? Look at that. Stress that. Do you know that a teacher in a biology class can teach evolution? It is nowhere required by law that you cannot teach evolution, especially in the great state of Louisiana and the great state of Tennessee, in the former Confederacy, in the Bible Belt, what do we have? We have laws on the books, this one from Louisiana, 2008, that says you can teach creation. But see, all they got to do is just threaten. The court only said states cannot require creation be taught. It's never been against the law to teach creation. No statute exists in any state to bar instruction in creation science. It could be taught, therefore, and it can be taught now. Now think about why it's not being done. Because of the Antichrist Communist Lawyers Union, the ACLU. They want teachers to think that they cannot teach creation in public school. This is just not true. But often the threat of a suit often causes school principals to tell their teachers not to discuss creation, even though they have the right to do it. You know why? Because communism is the goal. Why? Because it's from humanism. That's why our teachers are teaching this nonsense of evolution to our children. There is a war of worldviews going on. And Jesus told us very plainly, but whoso shall offend one of these little ones which believe in me, it were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and that he were drowned in the depth of the sea. That is God's decision on those that would offend little ones. Little ones go to VBS, they go to church, they go to Sunday school, they learn about Jesus, they learn that God made Adam and Eve in his image, and then they go to the public school, and then they're taught about how man never existed with dinosaurs. But yet today, E.J. Brill says that there may be one of these guys still over in the Congo, over in Africa. Then we have these by Dwayne Gish, Dinosaur by Design, properly teaching our children, but yet you know what? How much of that time do they get inside of our churches? How many of our children do we see in our families right now today are not in church this morning? Because it was too wet, because it was too cold, because it was too something, blah, 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 whatever it is. But yet, tomorrow morning, their parents will bend over backward to make sure they're on that yellow cheese box, taking them to a cistern of death. Taking them to a brainwashing, systematic, brainwashing institution that's going to teach your children and your grandchildren every single day from Monday through Friday that they come from earthworms and amoebas and monkeys and apes, that there is no God, there is no absolute. Everything's fine. If it feels good, do it, because there is no right and there is no wrong. And yet we sit by and slink out of church, we slink out of God's house, we slink out of God's word, we slink out of God's will, and we think it's going to be okay. I'm telling you, there's a reason why it's all tending to hell in a handbasket. It's the reason why there's so many pews empty this morning. It's because we have become indoctrinated by the public propaganda school system, and we're not putting God where he belongs first in our lives. James 3:1, my brethren, be not many masters, that is teachers, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. You know when this indoctrination and evolution really started being pushed? Some of you remember Sputnik. If you don't remember Sputnik, you remember being taught about Sputnik. So in 1959, Eisenhower allocated billions of dollars to put more evolution inside of the textbook. Why? So then that the American people could catch up with the commies. But I'm going to tell you right now, that's what they thought. They looked at the space race and said, there's a reason the Reds are beating us. It's because they believe in evolution. And so Ike, as much as I like Ike, he said, well, we need to do this differently. So in about before 1960, the average count in a science textbook in your high school or college would be 2,000 to 3,000 words. But then after 1961, 26,819. Then it jumped in 1963 to 33,089. There it is, Sputnik. They launched it, the Russians did, and that set off a panic. See, the Soviets were ahead of us because they taught evolution. Americans panicked. They built bomb shelters right and left. 1959 was also the 100-year anniversary of Darwin's Origin of Species. There's a whole list and whole study about this. Scientists in the classroom about this, about $1 billion for the Department of Health, Education, and Welfare, New American Education Fund. All right, so let's move on over. And so now, look at this. Right there. Now watch this. The decline since 1963 reflects the overall downward trend of textbook content. The percentage of texts devoted to evolution has not diminished. Think about people like Madeline Murray O'Hare. They started pushing evolution, and guess what happened? God, I want you to think about this. The twin ideas of taking prayer out of school, taking daily Bible reading out of school. How many of you remember a chapel in school? Some of us, I know some of you do. Remember when the preacher came and you had daily devotion? You had prayer before school? But in the 1960s, they took all that out. Now watch what happened. 1963 onward, the percentage of teen girls who have had premarital sex increased. How about the next one? Sexually transmitted diseases. Gonorrhea. Now watch this. Ages 10 to 14. 1963 and up. Look at that. It skyrocketed. How about birth rates for unwed girls 10 to 14 years of age? Look at 1963. It begins going up. Look at pregnancies, though. Pregnancies skyrocketed. 553%. But notice, not birth rates. Why didn't birth rates skyrocket 553%? Abortion. If you're nothing but an animal, well, I've seen a mother rabbit eat her own young before when Daddy and I raised rabbits. Look at out of wedlock birth as a percentage of all birth, 1960 going all the way up to the 90s. How about fatherless homes? 53% of teen mothers, 63% of youth suicide, 71% of high school dropouts, 85% of youth in prison, 90% of homeless or runaway children. Do you know why? When there's no dad inside the home, but yet the feminist movement says, you don't need a man, honey. You can be superwoman. Timothy was told, to Timothy, my dearly beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. Think about Timothy. He was a half-breed. He was half Jew, half Greek. But God still used him because he said, I want to be used by the Lord. Unmarried couples living together from the 60s all the way up, a 725% increase. Prior to 1977, unmarried couples living together was such a small group that data on this group was collected only in the 10-year census. No more, anymore, guys. The Bible says, thou shalt not commit adultery. Whoremongers and adulterers, God will judge. Then Jesus said that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. Divorce rate, 1963, on up. It goes up, up, up. 50% of first marriages end in divorce. 68% of second marriages end in divorce. Child abuse went up. This is before evolution was taught in school, 1963. After evolution theory is being taught in our school as a science. Illegal drug use, 1963. Afterward, it shot up. Now, you can't really see a lot of this next one, but it's there. There is a black line. I can see it right there. Hopefully you can. The violent crimes offenses, 995% increase after 1963. The next one. How many of you went to high school and you remember there were loaded shotguns and rifles in the back of pickup trucks? Yeah. Yeah. And yet, how many times did you hear about a school shooting back in the 60s? Hardly ever. Columbine, there's Dr. Hovind right there. Columbine High School. You know, you're never told this, but what happens is that these two guys, Klebold's father was a geologist. They were both followers of Nazi teaching. The shooting took place on Hitler's birthday. Klebold wore a shirt that said serial killer. They shot Isaiah Scholl because he was black. Newsweek, May 3rd, 1999, Eric's t-shirt read natural selection. They shot Cassie, as we mentioned before, because she was a Christian. But yet people think, well, You need to take away guns. No, it's like this guy said about Rosie. Blaming guns for Columbine is like blaming spoons for Rosie O'Donnell being fat. It's not the spoon's fault, Rosie. Come on now. SAT scores, I can barely see the black line. It went down, 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 up a little bit, and down again. The SAT scores got dumber and dumber. The teen suicide rate after 63 skyrocketed up. But yet, they're telling us that you can take a frog and over time he'll evolve into a prince. So, Hopefully none of you ladies found your prince from a frog. But see, that's what they're telling. They're telling us that the amoeba eventually turned into a frog, Grandpa, and then he finally came this over there and became a monkey and then turned into, eventually, the prince. So, what's the difference? Well, let's look at it. If the frog turns into a handsome prince quickly, well, it's a fairy tale. If the frog turns into a handsome prince slowly, well, that's modern science. All right, how about the ocean? 3 billion and 3.5 billion years ago, they talk about the atmosphere coming about. How about fossils? Again, millions of years ago. But what do Americans believe? Well, let's take a look at this survey. Yeah, were you there millions of years ago? Look, God created the earth in the last 10,000 years. This is from 1991, 95, 04, and 05. If you take the two notions of any form of evolution, it comes up together of 33%. So why is the opinion of the minority being forced upon the majority? 55% of U.S. natural scientists believe in Darwinian evolution, just barely over a majority. But you know what, guys? It doesn't matter about scientific theory, because there's a lot of things that were once taught that they said were scientific fact. For 2,000 years, it was taught that heavy objects fall faster than light ones. Galileo proved all objects fall at the same speed in a vacuum. In 1799, George Washington was bled to death. He was bled twice by his doctors before he died. They believed in the doctrine of humors. Yet the Bible says in Leviticus 17:11, the life of the flesh is in the blood. Now think about, how old is the earth? Well, the Bible tells us in Colossians that Jesus, by him, were all things created, heaven and earth. So Jesus made it all. He also said in Matthew 19:4 that he made them at the beginning male and female. That, of course, is Adam and Eve. Mark 10:6, from the beginning of the creation, God made them male and female. Romans 5:12, wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Then 1 Corinthians 15:21 and 22, for since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. We can see that mentioned again over in 1 Corinthians 15:45, the first man, Adam. Notice the first man, Adam. Genesis 3:20, Eve, she is the mother of all living. And then you keep looking at how these things happen. We see Adam lived 130 years and begat a son. And then Seth lived 105 years and begat Enos. In your handouts, you can also see a chart that will show you a timeline. So you can see there Adam, you can see his descendant. And then basically what you do is you look at what the Bible says and you can figure out how old the earth actually is. Now, I'm not going to say that it was October 23rd at 2 p.m. in the afternoon in 4004 B.C. That's the Schofield Reference Bible. But almost all textbooks say it was B.C.E., before the Common Era. You see, the textbooks say the earth is billions of years old. But yet Jesus told us in Matthew 19:4 that God made them, Adam and Eve, at the beginning. So was Jesus lying, or did he just not understand modern science? Genesis 1:1 tells us that in the beginning. Hebrews 1:10 says, and thou, Lord, in the beginning hast laid the foundation of the earth. So when was the beginning? Again, the textbooks say the earth is billions of years old, but that is not what the Bible says. Notice again, can that be correct, 4004? I believe it is. Let's move on. Yeah, I'm sorry. I got ahead of the game. Trying to. All right, so right there, 18 to 20 billion years ago, we've seen that, all right? Next one. We see yet again. The earth is thought to have formed about 4.6 billion years ago. So again, so we observe what they believe. They observe inside of their timeline that all life came forth from rocks. And then it rained on the rocks for millions of years. Now watch that. Millions of years of rain made a primordial soup. So life, progress from complex chemical soup to a living organism is very slow. So that's what they teach. They believe that out of this complex chemical broth, that somehow life emerged. Let's move on to the next one. Hot soup and the origin of life. Soup song. Move on. There it is again. The first self-replicating system must emerge in this organic soup. That's what they think. So there he is. Grandpa. Primordial soup. Again, they talk about the ocean. 3.5 billion years ago. And then again, many millions of years ago. But yet, this teaching clearly puts death before sin. The question is simple. Did man bring death into the world, or did death bring man into the world? The Bible says in Romans 5:14, nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses. Now, there are even some Christians that believe this, that the earth has been here billions of years, like Hugh Roth, James Dobson, Pat Robertson, Benny Hinn, John Hagee, Hank Hengrith, Billy Graham. They believe the earth has been here for billions of years. But yet your Bible teaches the earth has been here only about 6,000 years old. People say, well, who cares about the age of the earth? Well, if you don't, well, the credibility of the book of Genesis as its stake. Can the average person read it and understand, or do we need a guru to actually tell us how old it is? The credibility of Jesus, then, is at stake. And nearly every other book in the Bible referred to Genesis 200 times in the New Testament alone. The evolutionists care. Their entire theory looks silly without billions of years to hide within that timeline. Jesus said if you believe Moses, you would believe him. There are numerous scientific ways to show the universe is not billions of years old. So let's run through these in a hurry. The human population chart. Look at 1 billion in 1810. Think about that. If the earth has been here billions and billions of years, regardless of the future, the current population only shows 4,400 years of population growth. The New World Order, United Nations, etc., that's their goal, is to kill off millions of people. You can look at all kinds of different ways. They said Christianity is our foe. If animal rights is to succeed, we must destroy the Judeo-Christian religious tradition. They also said that the world has cancer, and the cancer is man. Think about seeds of deception, Monsanto, genetically modified foods, and so forth. 70% of our food today is genetically modified food. They said in the UN, food is power. We use it to control behavior. We do not apologize. So if we have been here billions of years, why is there not more people on the earth right now? How about the supernovas? We've observed about every 30 years a star died. Let's look at the next one. Right there it is. There's the supernova from 1987. We showed you the star blowing up there. But some try to say that they have proof of stars forming. They point to spots getting brighter. Obviously, this could just be a dust field or cloud clearing and a star behind showing through. Now, textbooks say that red giant stars evolved into white dwarf stars over billions of years. If it took that long, then we have a problem in astronomy. The Egyptians, Seneca, Ptolemy, they all described Sirius, the brightest star in the night sky, as being redder than Mars, or red as Mars. Wait a minute, if that be the case, and it took billions or millions of years for these stars to form into red stars, why then do we have a star moving from a red star to a white star? Why then do we have Ganymede having a strong magnetic field? They're generated by liquid motion of molten metal inside the body. Yet Ganymede should have cooled if it was billions of years old. But yet it still is a very active planet. Saturn's ring. We see a young Saturn. Saturn's rings are unstable, and they cannot last billions of years. How about the moon? The moon. Young age for the Earth and the moon. They say that the moon supposedly is receding from the earth. In other words, it's getting farther and farther away. So if you take this and retract how far it's moving away from the earth and go back in time, you'll have contact. So that fact alone puts the age of the earth and moon system at last 1.2 billion years. Well, that explains what happened to all the tall dinosaurs. The moon came by and mooned them to death. It knocked them off. How about comets? Short-period comets are losing material. They have a life expectancy of less than 10,000 years. All kinds of beautiful comets in the night sky. Though in 1950, Jan Oort proposed, hoped, wished, and came up with an idea about the Oort cloud. So the Oort cloud has been said to be 50,000 astronomical units away. You know how long that is? One astronomical unit is 93 million miles. That's 8 minutes from the sun. But yet, Pluto is 39 astronomical units from the sun and cannot be seen without a powerful telescope. But yet, they're telling us that the Oort cloud is 50,000 AU from the earth. No one has ever seen the Oort cloud. And many scientific papers teach that the Oort cloud is actually true. But it is based on mathematical error. Now, here's what they're doing. They're putting the burden of proof on us. Suppose I told you about a watermelon. If I told you that watermelons are blue inside until you cut the skin, prove to me that I'm wrong. Well, you couldn't do it. There you go. Psalm 19:1 said, "The heavens declare the glory of God, the firmament showeth his handiwork." It doesn't show the Big Bang. Evolutionary theory has the sun and stars evolving before the earth. God said he created the sun. God said he created the earth before the sun and the stars. So does the Bible and evolution match? No. The earth before the sun before the earth, ocean before land, land before the ocean, light before the sun before light, land plants first, marine life first, fruit trees before fish, fish before fruit trees, fish before insect, insect before fish. Plants before the sun before the plant, marine animals, mammals before land mammals before marine mammals, birds before reptiles, reptiles before birds, atmosphere between two layers of water, atmosphere above the water, man brought death into the world, and death brought man into the world according to evolution, and God created man, but man created God. So they don't match at all. But some people say, well, couldn't God have used evolution to create? Well, that God would be an evil, cruel, wasteful, and stupid God. He's not the God of the Bible. How about the Earth's magnetic field? Magnets lose their strength with time. And we understand that the Earth's magnetic field is getting weaker. It can't be billions of years old, at least 25,000 years max. Carbon dating cannot work for more than a few thousand years. The Earth's magnetic strength has declined 10% in the last 150 years and 40% in the last 1,000 years. If that would be the case, we would have no magnetic field around us. How about the mammoth? Let's go back one. The mammoth there, they actually dated parts of the mammoth that they found back in 1975. One part of it was dated at 29,500 years, and another part of the same mammoth was dated at 44,000 years old. They don't work, guys. It doesn't work that way. How about the Sahara Desert? It's got a strong prevailing wind pattern. But you know what? The desert is only about 4,000 years old. But yet it is being desertified. Over time, it would be enlarged. It would be bigger. But guess what? It's only that old. Why is it that old? Because about 4,400 years ago, there was a flood. How about oil wells? Oil wells can have up to 20,000 psi. That's way above the weight of overburdening the rock. The rock can only hold that pressure for 10,000 years or less. If this would be the case, why do we still have oil underneath the Earth's surface? They say, well, all that is, the dead plants and animals that happened way back when. No, those are all the dead plants and animals and people that were killed during the flood. So every time you put oil inside, gas inside the car, bye-bye, Grandpa. How about the petrified item? The petrified tree found inside a coal mine. The top and bottom were in different coal seams, dated to be different thousands of years old. How can a tree go through, thousands of years here and thousands of years there? You can see at Spirit Lake, whenever Mount St. Helens erupted, some of the trees floated down and it was put in different layers of segments. How about this piece of chopped wood? It petrified. They say petrification takes millions of years. How about this foot inside of a cowboy's leg found inside of a boot? It's petrified. You know what petrified means? Turned to stone or rock. How about this fish? The fish was giving birth. Giving birth doesn't take millions of years, although for some of you ladies you probably felt that way. What about dinosaurs? What do dinosaurs fit in with this? Well, again, God said at the beginning he made them male and female. And then, again, in school, children are being told that dinosaurs and men have never lived together. Millions of years ago, dinosaurs existed. They're calling Jesus a liar, but yet our children are taught that even before they can count to 20. Again, millions of years ago, when much of the world was warm and swampy, strange-looking reptiles called dinosaurs roamed the earth. They talk about this millions of years ago. Even Dr. Seuss, millions of years ago, there at the bottom. So again, they're being taught this. They're being taught about the geologic column. That exists nowhere but inside of a science textbook. I'll tell you where they are. Dinosaurs were actually on the ark. You say, how did you get a big dinosaur on board the ark? Very simple. All you got to take is two babies, a pink one and a blue one. Very simple. And yes, some of the dinosaurs, maybe even Jimmy Hoffa, I don't know. But some of the dinosaurs were compacted after the sediment settled throughout the flood. All right, how about the Mississippi River and the Gulf of Mexico? Why do we still have a Gulf of Mexico? It took 30,000 years to accumulate the mud in the delta. So they say. Well, think about this. If it was billions of years old, we shouldn't have a Gulf of Mexico. We shouldn't have that region. How about the oldest tree? The oldest tree is about 4,300 years old. Well, once again, you have about 4,400 years ago, the flood happened. How about the coral reef? The coral reef, guys, is less than 4,200 years old. Why? If it's billions of years old, why isn't it bigger? How about the Niagara Falls? The Niagara Falls, they've been eroding, it says, for nearly 9,900 years. If you look at these different pictures, it can even show you from even the 1840s and 1870s how slowly it is eroded. If it's millions of years old, why isn't the Niagara Falls already gone? Why are they still there? Wow. How about the ocean? The oceans today are 3.6% salt. They could have gone from fresh water to 3.6 salt in less than 5,000 years because of the flood. Well, think about it. Right there it is. Because of the flood. How about inside of like Linville Cavern? Here's the Carlsbad Cavern in New Mexico. According to self-professed infidel Dave Maxson, he says growth rates ranging from 0.1 to 10 centimeters, 2.5 inches per 1,000 years. Are you really honest about that? Really? There's the Lincoln Memorial built in the 1922. In the 1960s, they had stalagmite at that time. There's some right there. The refrigeration shed, 1926, 1927. Thousands of years? Wow. There's a picture taken in 1987 of level 5 of the lead mine in Australia. The mine was 55 years old, and it took all those thousands of years for that to form? I don't think so. There's Mike Croft. You can call him up. Ask him about that. He submitted that picture right there. At the current rate of erosion, the continents would erode flat in 14 million years. How can we have rocks 300 times older and still above sea level? So see, guys, when you weigh all this evidence, you don't get overwhelming evidence for evolution or even an old earth. You get overwhelming evidence for creation and for God. So why aren't students showing the evidence for the universe being young? Think about this, guys. 75% of all children raised in Christian homes who attend public schools will reject Christianity, will reject the Christian faith in the first year of college. Heather, inside of her first year at USC Upstate, in her, what was it, psychology class? Sociology class. Her professor challenged the youth there and said, "Who here believes in God?" And she was the only one that raised her hand. And he said, "You write a paper defending the existence of God." And all the rest of them had to write a paper defending that God does not exist. And after class let out, Heather heard many of them saying, "I'm a Christian, I go to church, and yet I got to write a paper supporting the notion that God doesn't exist." Because they were weenies and cowards and did not stand up for what's right. Crawford Toy, who lived during the time of Lottie Moon, a Baptist missionary, and he was a Baptist himself, listen to what he said. "The Bible intends to teach a plain six-day creation. The Bible is simply in error at that point." Why are we going through this, guys? I'll tell you why. It's because people are being brainwashed. Colossians 2:8 says, "Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit after the tradition of man, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ." How will this young man view the world after 12 or 16 years in our public school system? I'll tell you how he'll view the world. That it was a cosmic burp and cosmic accident that we just hear by chance. But yet the Bible says, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. The Bible is right about the beginning. But you know what else, guys, it's right about? The Bible's also right about the end. Right. Are you ready about the end? You say, "Yeah, you've been yawning and droning on for well over an hour." I know. I'm almost done. Start singing out hallelujah. So let's summarize. Number one, God made the world. Number two, God owns it. Number three, he makes the rules, you know, like the Ten Commandments. And number four, we're guilty of breaking his rules. Number five, we'll be punished, or we must find a substitute to take our place. And I'll tell you right now, Jesus is willing and he's able to take your place. Ezekiel 18:4 says, "Behold, all souls are mine. As the soul of the Father, so also the soul of the Son is mine. The soul that sinneth, it shall die." Psalm 5:4, "For thou art not a God that hath pleasure in wickedness, neither shall evil dwell with thee." Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." Remember those first all-important questions we were thinking about over at the beginning? You know, who am I? What am I worth? Who are you? You are a specially created person by the hand of God. And what are you worth? You are worth, you are priceless, because you are worth the blood of Jesus Christ. How, number two, where did it come from? You didn't come from great-great-great-great-grandpa soup. And you definitely didn't come from a monkey, an orangutan. You came from my 141st great-grandpa, Adam. Why am I here? Well, the Bible tells us, I'm here to glorify God, as are you. But if we're here because of a cosmic birth and an accident, well, you're just here. You're part of the problem, really. The less of you we have, the better it will be for the earth and for the planet and for the woods and forest and little animals. And everything will be better. The more of man we can get rid of, the better. Huh? And then number four, where am I going when I die? Well, if evolution's true, you're just going to be recycled into the earth and be worm food or something like that. But if the Bible's true, you're going to go somewhere. You're going to either go to heaven or you're either going to go to hell. Think about, you're way over there. Okay, yeah, there we go. Think about those deer inside the water. That fire was to come around them. Fire won't touch the ones in the water. Just like us that are in Christ, God's judgment will not hurt us that are in Christ. Now think about if you died today, where would you go? Smoking or non-smoking? And think about this, guys. You're going to be dead for a long time. Think about Sarah S. right there, 1857 to 1939. That little dash in between those two dates is all you have. That's it. And that's all the time you have to either decide for God or against God, for Jesus or not Jesus. Now, some claim to be atheists, but Psalm 14:1 says, "The fool has said in his heart, there is no God." God doesn't believe in atheists. Now consider, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So understand, guys, we are at war with an evil, satanic worldview today. And I tell you, that view is gaining ground. I'll add this, and then, David, if you'll come. Inside of this handout here, are you bringing brainwashed? In towards the end, there are some tidbits and helpful hints. Those of you that may have children going into school, there are letters that you can copy out of there and write to the teacher telling them to exempt your child from being taught evolution. Guys, we've got to take a stand for this. And that's one reason why we had Creation Sunday today. Also in your handout, you can see some of the timelines there, some good facts on the back of this. Hey, you can laminate these and even use them as placemats. And start great conversations at your supper table when you have your liberal friends over and blow their minds. So, guys, I know I went very long today, and I want to thank you for your time and for your attention today. I didn't time this. I didn't know how long it was going to take me, but I know your rumps are feeling it now. So, that being said, let's all stay.